So having that courage as well, I think especially with a lot of people, they struggle with this, to actually lean a little bit on their friends and to ask for support. Because so many of us, we want to be self-reliant. We want to just be, oh, I'm just going to figure it out by myself.
Welcome to the Inspired to Thrive podcast. I'm your host, Phoebe Lay, and in each episode, I will be sharing with you insights from either an inspiring person or myself to help you thrive and shine online and in person. We talk about all things marketing, relationships, money, business, growth, mindset, and more. So thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you inspired to thrive. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Inspired to Thrive and Shine. Today, I am very delighted to have a very special guest who is not only someone that is very compassionate about the breakup space and helping his clients heal from heartbreak in a way that is gentle and self-compassionate, but Jaemin Chang, founder of the Breakup Journal and author of Amazon bestseller, I Love This Version of Myself That You Brought Out, has been helping people navigate breakups by focusing on self-love and growth rather than bitterness and the other person. Jaemin, welcome to Inspire to Thrive and Shine. It's so good to have you on
Thank
the
you so
podcast.
much. That was a great introduction.
It's so delightful to have you today. We've been chatting on Instagram ever since I came across your, I guess, your company and your posts, which I would say was something that was very, very comforting for me when I was going through the initial stages of the breakup I went through. And something that I think a lot of people would gravitate towards if they are ready to let go in a loving, kind, I guess you could say a, you know, a really wholesome kind of way as well. So,
Right.
I want to hear, before we dive in, what's your backstory?
So personally for me, I went through a heartbreak myself quite a few years ago, and it actually was very similar to your experience, where I was scrolling on my phone, I was looking at social media posts, and I found a lot of the messaging didn't fully align with me. So I felt as if a lot of the messaging was urging me, oh, just let go, or just stop caring, or just you should force yourself to move on. And I didn't quite align with it. It didn't quite sit right with me. So I knew that something was off, and I wanted there to be a different message. And that's sort of where I started posting my own videos and started writing my own poetry. And I wrote my own thought essays because I wanted there to be a more compassionate message. And that's how this all sort of got started.
Wow, I love that. I think that your poetry is divine. For anyone that hasn't come across the Breakup Journal on Instagram, definitely go and check it out. You do share some things that they're very, very what most people go through. I know that there's a lot of beautiful things in there that I'm sure anyone who read it would be like, wow. What I wanted to know was, when you were writing this poetry, did you ever think that you were going to publish a book with it? And what was your intention behind it?
So that's a great question. All of this actually began through my way of coping with no contact. So I was struggling a lot at the time. So I actually decided to work with a coach, a life coach. And she recommended to me that I just express some of the stuff down on paper, you know, put it on words, because that's a powerful medium of, you know, expressing your emotions. And it's funny because it's called the Breakup Journal, and that's how a lot of the pieces were written. I actually put a lot of these poems, a lot of these thought essays into my own journal. And a lot of the things that I wanted to say, or a lot of things that I wanted to express, I actually just put it down on paper as if I was speaking to the person. And I had no intention of writing a book at all or anything like that at first. It was just purely for me to heal. And I think that's what really connects with readers and the audience, because it's just a real, you know, experience of it.
Yeah, I mean, no contact is so hard, especially when people have been together for a long time and that's what they know, and expressing themselves is such a huge part of the relationship. It becomes a monologue. What would you say to people that are going through a breakup right now that are in the no contact phase? What advice would you give them?
I think one of my favorite quotes, and I say this a lot all the time, is that firstly, it's really important to validate the feelings that come up during no contact, which is it's okay to miss them, right? And it's normal to miss them. If somebody played a huge role in your life, there's gonna be elements of missing them, even if it ended poorly, even if the relationship, ended up in flames. And I think that missing step of validation and that self-validation is often what causes people to struggle so much with no contact. So the quote I was referring to is, it's okay to miss them, but you don't have, just because you miss them doesn't mean you have to act on it. Smokers miss cigarettes when they try to quit.
That is really, really true. I like that. I haven't heard that one before. Obviously, it's been a few years now, so it's probably different to how you felt at the time of writing the breakup journal. I love this version of myself that you brought out, which is a fantastic book. But I wanted to know, like, if you were to see your ex, what would you say to her? What would you have said to her then versus now?
That's a good question. I think there actually is an answer to that in the end of the book. So the final pages of the book are basically that question that you asked, where it was, if I did have the opportunity to have one final conversation, exactly what I would have said was sort of put into a letter. So a lot of people, I've actually posted it online before, and a lot of people have resonated with it. They've said, oh, it feels really real. And because for that letter, it was intentionally written as if, okay, if I was able to say one last thing, this is sort of what I'd say. I think it hasn't changed much. I feel like I've gotten to write, and really the book wasn't just something that I wrote for other people. It really was a gift to myself, and I was able to experience, that level of closure through writing as well. So it really was also like a thing for myself.
That's so beautiful. I'm going to ask you a really personal question and feel free to tell me if this is way too difficult for you to share, but how long until you stopped missing her?
Oh, that is a good question. I think actually to answer that question, a better way to say it would be to say that it's less about stopping missing a person, but rather coming to the point where it's no longer an issue. And what I mean by that is grief is a really complex topic, right? So when you examine grief and somebody who's lost people before, whether it's like your grandma or somebody close to you've lost, there's always going to be an element of missing them. I think perhaps the beautiful and maybe a bit bittersweet part about loving someone is that that lasts with you for a lifetime. And whether it's maybe like just a small moment, a few seconds where you're in the grocery store and you see something that reminds you of them, you might just miss them for a short moment. And I think the point of quote unquote healing is when that doesn't become so big of an issue anymore, it becomes more of something that you can, see with grace and be like, maybe this is a bit beautiful. Maybe it stings a little sometimes, but that's okay and it just passes.
I think that you are spot on there. I've definitely heard a lot of different people share thoughts on grief. And one of the things that really resonates with me when I was grieving my grandparent was that grief kind of, it's like a ball that every time it hits the edge of a box, there's that pain. So it's initially it's very, very painful, and then the ball starts to shrink and it still bounces off the walls every now and then of the box, but each time it hits the wall, it stings less and less. And then eventually that ball becomes smaller and smaller. But when it does hit, it still stings. That pain of losing someone is still there. And for me, when I lost my grandfather, I found that that was a huge one. Like that was definitely something that I could still feel with that intensity, but it was just less frequent. But when it comes up, it's obviously there. And I think what you've just shared is so spot on. And for anyone that is going through grief, I hope that, that helps in some kind of way for you to know that it is something that is universal. And, I guess everyone does experience grief at some point in their lives.
Yeah, I think there's an element to it where a lot of people feel guilt and shame. So that's one of the big things I focus on, where it's the space and the validation to accept how it is that you're feeling. Because oftentimes people, they have a gap between what they think they should feel and what they're actually feeling. And that creates a cycle of shame or guilt and this sort of, spiraling. Whereas if they just allowed themselves the space to feel it, they would realize really quickly it actually passes a lot quicker and it becomes a lot easier to process if they're just allowed to feel it in the first place.
Yeah, totally. I'd love to hear your thoughts on letting go isn't hard, holding on is.
Right. Okay. That is a great point. So that is one of the things I talk about in my brand, where I at least believe, and this is sort of one of the main messages of my brand, is that when you really love somebody deeply, on some level, you have to let go of them. And what I mean by that is a lot of the experiences that we get to have, and experience as humans are just that, they're transient and they happen in the moment, in the present, and then that's really all we get to keep of them. We get to keep our memories and our experience of them. And when you truly love something on a deep level, you start to realize that actually wanting to possess it and own it actually takes away from what it is. It's kind of like that quote where if you see a really beautiful flower and you want to appreciate it, you should leave it be and not pick it up, rip it out of the ground. So it's the same thing where when you come to this realization, loving somebody so deeply is also relinquishing your ownership over them. That's what I mean when I say it's like, okay, letting go is actually the easy part because that's the really loving act. And holding on, you start to realize is actually causing yourself more pain, especially in the context of a breakup. It's actually harming yourself. So something I say often is, contrary to popular belief, the highest love isn't self-sacrifice. The highest love is a love that includes yourself as well. And a lot of people miss out on that, I think.
I totally agree. I think that what you've just shared is pivotal for healing and also forgiveness. I know that forgiveness is something really hard for a lot of people, especially if they've gone through a relationship where the ending wasn't good. Maybe someone, cheated on someone, maybe it was abusive, but there's definitely something there for the person if they are able to let go and forgive. What are your thoughts on that?
That is very true. I think so. If people who have read my book, they know I actually do talk about this in the book. I've been very blessed in terms of I haven't been just the person who's been heartbroken. I've also been the heartbreaker. So my first encounter with, love and everything was I was the quote unquote perpetrator. So I was the person causing somebody else a lot of pain. And then after that, I actually kind of got like a taste of my own medicine, where I felt it back, and it was like, I guess you can call it karma, but I feel like for me, that's a very unique blessing. And the reason why I say that is because it really equalizes, sort of the difference and that separation between victim and perpetrator, right? If you're only being hurt by the world, it'll be really hard to forgive because you think that, okay, this is so unfair, this is so whatever. But when you start to recognize that all of pain actually is this universal thing that we all sort of get dished out at some point. It becomes a lot easier to recognize, okay, if somebody's being hurtful to me, they're just acting out their patterns of pain. And I can actually be the one to stop it because I love myself enough to not let this live inside of me.
Wow, that is so good. That's something that I hope everybody understands at some point in life because, yeah, I resonate a lot with what you've just shared. And I think that it really helps. It's a bit like the John DeMartini method, how nothing is ever fully good or bad, including people. And to be able to balance that out and to equalize those charges of positive and negative is very powerful and transformational.
Yeah, I agree. Really good quote. I can't remember where I heard it from. I think it was from a TV show or something. Whereas like if somebody has been really hurtful or, done you wrong in a way, it is almost like self-empowering, where it's like, I think the quote was something like, I will give you nothing, not even my hatred. Yeah. So it's like you've taken away the power because oftentimes I feel like the reason why people don't want to forgive is like I don't want to give the power to the other person. Right? But what is hard to recognize is that by not forgiving them, you've actually given them control over your well-being. So forgiveness really isn't about them. You actually don't even have to involve them in your forgiving process. It's about freeing yourself from the pain. It's about freeing yourself from the resentment.
That's so well said. So true. I'd love to hear your thoughts on unrequited love. In life, sometimes we fall for people that don't necessarily feel the same, or we don't necessarily feel the same about someone who has fallen deeply head over heels for us. And, I guess that's unrequited love. What would you say to the people that are experiencing that? That feel maybe not good enough, or maybe they just feel angry or resentful towards someone that doesn't feel the same about them.
Right. So that is a very important topic, I think, because it happens especially nowadays with a lot of people feeling that way. And I see that message pushed out a lot on social media, where people will actually measure themselves based on the reactions of other people. And I speak about this often where I say it's actually, in a way, almost like a self-betrayal. And here's what I mean. And a good way to illustrate this is with something called inner child work. So I speak of this where, imagine you had a child for a second, right? And your child came up to you and said, "Hey, I was at school today. There's this person I really liked. I asked them out and things didn't go well. I got rejected. I'm feeling really sad. I'm feeling really like poorly about this." Imagine if somebody was like, "Oh, it's because you suck," or "It's because you're not enough." That wouldn't really make sense. And that would actually be quite cruel to the child, right? That would actually, we would probably consider that like an abusive parent. Like, "Oh, this is definitely not right." And it's so funny because when we illustrate it this way, it's like, "Oh, yeah, of course you would never speak to a child that way." But then that's how people speak to themselves. After, like, let's say somebody's been rejected, they immediately beat themselves up, they immediately self-attack. So I think there is that element of self-empowerment where you have to recognize, hey, if something quote unquote bad has happened to you, you have to be the one to show up for yourself. You have to rally for yourself if it feels like nobody is. Because you are, again, like taking care of that own inner child within you, you also have that relationship with yourself that can't be neglected. So to like get to the final point, somebody who is experiencing unrequited love, I think the work, the hard work is to actually give that love back to themselves and to recognize just because somebody doesn't choose you doesn't mean you're not valuable or doesn't mean you're not enough. Right? It could just be a misalignment. And that is the hard work. When I say, unrequited love really teaches you how to love, because it's not about the other person. It's about being able to look in the mirror and really see yourself for who you are.
I think that when it comes to unrequited love, you're right. Like it is all about ourselves and how we view ourselves and how much power we give another person as well. If we can still say to ourselves, I am beautiful, I am amazing, I am kind, or whatever your I am statements are, and believe it truly from deep within, I think it makes it a lot easier to move on from the person that doesn't feel the same way, right?
Yeah, for sure. Especially too, there's this really great I can't remember, he's a TikToker, Instagram person. I think he's Tracks NYC. He gives away gold on the streets of New York City. And he like it's literally like just gold nuggets, literal gold nuggets. They're worth like maybe $1,000, a few hundred dollars. And some people will just look at it and be like, "Oh, maybe this is a scam or something is whatever." So they won't take it, even though he's giving away free value. And he knows because, okay, he's so rooted in, I'm literally just giving away free gold, but some people don't want it. And it's like the same thing with ourselves, I think. A lot of times people, they devalue themselves just because somebody, doesn't want to accept them. But the important work is to really root yourself in your own confidence that, like, yeah, you are giving away gold or you're willing to share this. And if somebody doesn't want to, participate in that, perhaps they're missing out in their own way.
I totally agree. I actually say something similar to the friends that have come to me when they are going through that, and great advice. If someone doesn't want to take what you have to offer. If you're handing out $100 notes or gold, then keep it to yourself or give it to someone that is going to really appreciate it and understand the value of it and admire it. Yeah, that's beautiful. Moving on to closure now. I mean, we've touched on closure already, but I know that in the breakup journal, you talk about having a funeral for your ex. And
Right.
it's
Yeah.
something that I've never done before. I think that it's definitely something, a concept that will probably work quite well. Can you tell the audience or take us through what was your experience of holding a funeral for your ex?
Yeah.
How did you do it? And what was the, not aftermath, but what was the difference between before and after?
I think one of the big things, I talk about this a lot, where closure is actually a commitment, not a conversation. And a lot of people think, oh, if I just have this one final conversation with an ex, or if I just talk to them about this, if I just hear about this, if I just figure this out, then I'll have closure. But the reason why that doesn't make sense is imagine when you are in a relationship with someone. You don't just talk to them every day and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm good, I'm done talking to them. It's good. Like, I never need to talk to them ever again. So
Yeah.
just like if you're in a relationship, you can't just find closure like that. It's the same thing when a relationship ends. Closure becomes a decision. It's a commitment to start moving on. And particularly for me, I am a bit more extra. I like to do things, in a fun, sort of big way. And I feel like that has really reflected in my social media and my brand, which is what, some people like. But basically, during my coaching, I was working for a life coach, as I mentioned earlier. She gave me an assignment, and the final assignment was to sort of write a letter of closure to this person, without holding back. If I had anything to say, if I needed to express something, this was really no holds barred because this was as if it's the final thing I get to say to them. So just put it all out there. And then all the things that I wanted to let go of, all the things that, maybe stung a little, all the things that were I didn't get closure on, I actually was able to write those on cue cards. So let's say maybe we had made plans to go to this place, like go skydiving or something, or do like some fun activity. There is grief there because you can no longer do it with this person you had initially planned to do it with. So you're grieving that potential future as well. So all of those things I put onto cue cards and, I wrote that letter and I thought a fun way to do it would be to put it on a little boat. So I made like a little Viking funeral. So I put it all on sort of the boat and I sent it out slowly, first of all, just reading each card and really allowing it, to come up. So, and that's the thing about sort of grief is that just because you commit to moving on, to having closure, doesn't mean it's gone. That's a very important point I need to highlight where just because, okay, you do a funeral, it doesn't mean like all of a sudden you're good and you've forgotten about them. It means that you've committed to start, really, okay, I'm going to leave this in the past, even when stuff does come up. So I think you had another question, which was like, what was the after effects of doing that Viking funeral? I think the biggest thing was that it was, first of all, it was very like a solid thing. It was a very big, okay, I've done something concrete. So when you've done something concrete, it creates a self-accountability in terms of now that you know you've done this, it's like it's a lot easier to commit to because that's the decision you've made. And also, let's be honest, it takes a bit of work to build a boat and write a letter and write cue cards and then set it on fire and buy flowers, like all those kind of things. So it really, again, is that relationship with the self. You've done all of this. It's not about the actual doing of it or the performing of it, but really the energy and the intention behind it. So I think after that, there was definitely a lot of times where, I would like go back to what was comfortable, be like, oh, I wanna like still revisit the past or whatever. And I think after making that commitment, it just became easier to remind myself, wait a second, I've chosen to move forward. I've chosen to commit to this. I'm going to take one step.
Yeah, wow, that's beautiful. Didn't know it was a Viking funeral. It reminded me of a Thai or a Buddhist ceremony.
Oh yeah, it could be that too. It's not, yeah.
Now, I'd love to hear about moving on from a breakup. What do you say to your clients when they think they're ready for another relationship, or when you were ready to start putting yourself out there again?
I think the biggest thing, and this is a very big misconception that's pushed, is you need to be healed to start dating or to start getting into a relationship, which, by the way, let's be honest, isn't actually something that's real. Like, what does being healed actually mean? If we're honest with ourselves, every single one of us is always going to have issues. We're always going to have wounds. We're always going to have triggers and traumas. So getting to the point of being healed isn't really something that's realistic unless you want to live as like a Buddhist monk, because those are people who've committed to being healed as their status quo, and the way that they live isn't necessarily how you have to live. So I always say with people, it's less about these outside definitions, but it's about the actual intention and the energy behind it. So why are you choosing to put yourself out there? Why are you choosing to love? Why are you choosing to date again? And that's the only question you have to answer, because the only person you answer to is the person in the mirror. So if you start to date because of your own desire to be like, I need to fill this void, I feel unloved, so I need to go seek it out, all you're really doing is you're betraying yourself, because you're not allowing yourself to show up in that way to actually provide that love for yourself. So it's less about, okay, let's cut out these outside definitions, oh, be healed, be unhealed. Maybe it's more about our intention behind it, how we're going into it.
I totally agree. I am a fan of dating. I think that it's a good thing if you're ready for it. And for me, I remember when I first started dating again after my breakup, it was more of an act of self-love because I thought putting myself out there to meet nice, genuine, kind, healthy people is a good thing. It's going to also help me reset my nervous system from a really toxic relationship. But I did notice that after a couple of weeks, I was like, no, I need to get back into my shell and continue healing and working through what I'm working through. And was asking myself whether I should continue dating. And obviously, the word should is that's already a warning sign. What I told myself is there's no right or wrong, it's just what feels right. Would you say if you had a best friend who has just come out of a breakup like yours, they were traveling, they were living together perhaps, what would you say to your friend who had come out of a long-term relationship and then went straight into another relationship? Is it ever too soon?
I genuinely do think that it is important to understand that different people process grief differently and different people go through the healing journey differently. Personally, for me, I find myself to heal better when I take a little bit of time at least to process and to figure things out for myself. And generally, I found that works for a majority of people. That's not to say that anyone is wrong for immediately jumping back into it, because maybe that's how they're going to progress through the journey as well. I think you mentioned yourself, you wanted to get back out there, and at the time that felt right. And then after a while, you realized you wanted to get back in your shell. So who's to say that really that that was wrong, because it led you to the right outcome anyways. So I think, again, it's less about the actual doing, it's less about the actual action, it's more about the intention behind it. If it really feels right for someone, hey, listen, I need to put myself out there. I really, think this could be part of the journey and this is part of something that's going to help me heal, then perhaps that's something they need to explore. And that's really the big focus of this whole self-love and the breakup journal and everything, is that nobody's really going to be able to tell you what is best for you better than you can. Because at the end of the day, it's your life and you're going to know what is deep down, like, this is something that's right for me, this is something that's wrong for me. And I think learning how to actually reconnect with our intuition, reconnect with our authenticity and intention, that's what's important. And I feel like when everybody is able to do that, everything will just work out by itself.
I absolutely agree. And I think you've said it perfectly. What about the people that go through a rebound? I know that that's a term that in my 20s, that was used a lot more frequently. Whereas now we don't really talk about it, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on it.
I think the thing about a rebound is there's two sides to it, really, right? Because there's the side of the person who is the rebound. And of course, from that side, they'll often say, like, oh, it's not fair, or these kind of, you shouldn't, or whatever. And then from the side of the person who's doing the rebound or having a rebound relationship, they might be just on their journey. They just might be experiencing a certain thing because the truth is, every single one of us is working on ourselves. We're on our own journey. We're healing. We're figuring things out to the best of our ability, to the best that we can. And sometimes that might involve another person, even if they're not meant to last. And I think the big thing, again, it comes back to that core value of like intention. If you're going into a relationship intentionally being like, I'm going to use this person as a rebound to alleviate my own wounds. And again, that comes back to the idea is like, are you really honoring yourself? Right? It's less about the other person because if you're really coming from the place, hey, this is something I'd like to explore, you never know. It might actually turn out to be something good. And I've seen it before where people, they go through a breakup and they might quickly jump into something. But in that new thing that they've jumped into, they've actually found a really deep and awesome love and things do work out. So there is so much possibility there. I think again, it comes down to that intention. It's like, why are you in a rebound relationship? For then this question goes to both sides. Whether you're on the receiving end or you're the one choosing it, why are you choosing it? And that's what's important.
Yeah, that's a really great answer. Jamin, I'd love to know for those that are going through heartbreak and they're severely struggling to deal with it, maybe it's just been really, really tough and perhaps they're feeling just really down or even anxious and depressed. What would you say to the people that are experiencing that and how can they get through that?
I think the first step, and this is one of the most important steps that's often missed out by people, is coping. Imagine for a second, and this is a great analogy, if you were to break your leg or break your arm, okay? And imagine if your first reaction is like the day after you get your cast and your arm's just been broken, you're like, I have to go do rehab, or I have to go start walking, I have to start running. It really doesn't make sense, right? Because and we all know that when we have physical injuries, part of the healing process is rest. Part of the healing process is quote unquote doing nothing and just laying on a bed. But when it comes to emotional wounds, people don't seem to have that connect. They sort of immediately jump into, okay, how do I heal this? How do I fix this? How do I move on from this? And maybe they just haven't given themselves enough grace to actually just cope. So actually something I say is that when you first start no contact or when you first start the quote unquote healing journey, maybe it's not about healing. Maybe it's about losing yourself. Maybe it's about freaking out. Maybe it's about, oh no, like, being depressed and being stuck on the couch watching a sitcom for a week or so, right? And I think having the grace to actually experience that allows people to build that relationship with themselves. That level of patience, that level of understanding and compassion. So start there. Maybe you need to start at coping. And then once you start coping, then it actually becomes easier to be like, okay, I'm starting to feel a bit more safe. I'm starting to feel a bit more okay. Maybe I can explore quote unquote rehab, which is like maybe, looking into some healing podcasts or looking into some books or looking into some things. And again, everybody's pace is going to be different. Right, there is that aspect of like if you're going rehab for like a broken leg, for example, some people might be able to walk faster than others, and it's not a comparison, it's not a competition. It really is about yourself and getting yourself to be able to walk again. And it really is okay. Now that I understand it's about me and it's about healing me, I'm going to focus on that.
Are there any tools that you would recommend for people that are struggling to cope? Maybe they're struggling to even get out of bed. Like what would you say to those?
So generally for me in the past, when I've gone through heartbreak, one of my coping things is it's almost like a ritual almost where I don't know if you're familiar, there's the TV show How I Met Your Mother. And there's about 9 seasons, I believe, and it's a sitcom. So I just set that as like my quote unquote time limit. Like I'll watch through the entire show, 9 seasons, and then that's my time frame of during that time, I will give myself all the grace, all the patience to just like non-judgmentally, okay, I need to like eat McDonald's or whatever and just chill out, whether that's calling friends over at 4 a.m. to just talk about it, to grieve, these kind of things. And I find having that intention actually allows me the space to just be like, you know what, maybe I just need to sit down today and chill out and relax. Obviously not neglecting, the personal responsibilities that I owe to myself, but having that ability to be like, you know what, maybe I'm just gonna watch this show. And I found actually that show in particular has a lot of lessons about love and letting go and whatever. So as I progressed throughout the show, naturally, I would kind of come to realize certain things, and yeah.
That is such great advice. I mean, I've never sat through seasons of like Friends or How I Met Your Mother, but I do find that sometimes even movies, there are messages in there where you're like, oh, that really applies. And it could just be a rom-com or even just a comedy.
Yeah, no, I think the big thing is having something to do. I think the reason why it's hard for people to cope is because it feels like they've lost a big element of their daily life or like, something they're used to. So having that intention of like, I'm going to complete these 9 seasons doesn't mean you have to be like watching every single episode, but I kind of have it playing in the background sometimes. Maybe I'm just exercising, I'm working out at the gym on the treadmill, I can just have it there. Or I'm cooking a meal, I have it in the background. And just having that is kind of like a way to cope with the fact that you have quote unquote nothing to do. It's like, okay, I'm doing something. And it doesn't necessarily have to be that particular TV show, but just having, something that you're intentionally doing during that processing period.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's different for everybody, but there are some things that are very, very difficult post breakup that will
For
really
sure.
trigger. I think you mentioned earlier going to the grocery store. I mean, for me, that was my biggest trigger. I could not walk into the vegetables and meat and deli section without feeling intense feelings. And I remember the first time I did it, I had to call a friend and say, hey, can you recommend? I don't even know what I'm buying. I don't even know what to cook for myself tonight. I'm so used to cooking for another person. And it's so hard initially, and it does get easier and easier.
For sure. I think that's one of the big things to really highlight and recognize is that grief and loss and no contact, all these kind of stuff, it is a big element of change. So having that courage as well, I think especially with a lot of people, they struggle with this to actually lean a little bit on their friends and to ask for support. Because so many of us, we want to be self-reliant. We want to just be, oh, I'm just going to figure it out by myself. But what you'll recognize is that during these situations, this is actually where you have an opportunity to build a closer bond with some of your friends and to really, give them, again, it's like that poem I wrote, it's like pass the baton, you give them that trust to be like, hey, I'm kind of going through it. I kind of need someone to help pick up the slack for me. And then that really is an opportunity to get closer.
Yeah, and I definitely think that that's one of the gifts of going through a breakup. It is that you might lose one relationship, but as John DeMartini says, energy is never deleted or done. And so you can gain a lot of incredible relationships and deepen your existing friendships. I know that's happened for me as well. And sometimes if you don't go through events like these, your friendships and relationships that are existing don't go to that deeper level.
I completely agree with that where the depth of our friendships also is a reflection of the depth to which we ourselves are able to show and we ourselves are able to, be vulnerable with. A big change, life-changing experience for me was writing this book because I was just at a point where I was like, I'll just own it. I'll just put it out there. Who knew that writing about my own heartbreak would resonate with how many people, right? And I
Millions.
think yeah, so I think that's the big thing where so many of us are scared to own our truth. And what we'll find, or at least what I found, is that when you actually do that, it's actually the opposite of everything that you feared.
Jamin, thank you so much. You have offered I think so much value and so much insight. I'd love to wrap this up with five rapid fire questions so that the listeners can also get to know you a little bit more.
Yeah.
So, if there was one thing that you cannot live a single day without, whether it's something physical or a non-physical item or object, what would it be?
It would definitely have to be, after learning this whole experience, is myself. And the reason why I say that is so many of us, myself included, constantly abandon ourselves and throw parts of ourselves away because we want to be loved by someone, because we want to be loved by our parents, the world, friends, everything, right? So at some point in our life, whether it's, in early childhood or middle school, we discard parts of ourselves. We hide parts of ourselves away. Because we're scared, we're like, oh, what if the world judged me? Or what if people don't accept this? And what you'll slowly realize is throughout your healing journey, you have to start picking up these pieces. And once you've picked up all these pieces of yourself, you start to wonder, how could I have ever discarded this? How could I have ever abandoned these parts of myself? Because they're me. I have to love them. I have to accept them because they're all me. And after learning that lesson myself, I find it very important. It's just one of my most important things that I'm able to own and accept all these different parts of myself.
Wow, thank you for sharing. That's a wonderful takeaway. What or who inspires you to do what you do today?
I think one of the big influences has to be my coach. And because she really was the one who kickstarted a lot of this, of the healing process. A lot of journey. A lot of my friends along the way, I've had some really good close relationships and friends where they're really helpful. And then obviously the person who actually did break my heart was a huge influence, was a huge, stepping stone. I think if I never went through that experience, I feel like I was living as a shell of a person of who I once was. I was never really fully complete. So something I say at the end of the book is, as if I was speaking to her, it's like, oh, you completed me, past tense. Because it was that experience that really got me to look in the mirror and recognize, wait a second, I've been abandoning parts of myself. I've been throwing parts of myself away. It's my job now to really reclaim it.
Wow. My gosh. Thank you for sharing.
Thanks for asking.
Jamin, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time? What do you want to have accomplished?
5 years, that is a big time frame. So far, I think all the growth and everything I've experienced has been like definitely unexpected in terms of I'm very grateful, but it's like it's been crazy. Like 2024, just 2024, the amount of growth that I've seen. So I think the biggest thing and the most rewarding thing about this job and this company and everything is the countless messages I get from people telling me about how much it's helped. How much it's helped them heal, how much it's helped them rediscover themselves and love themselves. So really, in the next 5 years, I'm just hoping that it continues to do that and it continues to impact more people and really put out the message there that it is up to us and we need to love ourselves.
Yeah, wonderful. And I'm sure it does. I mean, you've definitely left a legacy there, that's for sure. What is one big takeaway that you've had recently that has changed the way you show up or changed the way you see the world?
Ooh, recently. Let's see. That's a good one. I think it's funny. I was actually mentioning to some clients the other day that there's no such thing as really being healed enough. Or in terms of it's not about some outcome that you're trying to get to. Because I myself, as a coach, as an author, as a brand owner, tend to feel imposter syndrome sometimes because, if I'm feeling these certain feelings of like heartbreak, grief, and that kind of stuff. There's that certain expectation where I'm supposed to be good at dealing with it. I'm supposed to be healed. I'm supposed to be so and so. But the idea is that it really is about the ongoing process. It's about the journey. And something I say is that healing is a process, not an outcome. So it really is about the lifelong journey. And I think recently it's been sort of well demonstrated in my life that I'm not perfect and I'm never going to be perfect. And that's part of the experience of life. We come here, to experience this, whether it's 80 years or shorter or longer, even to, try things out, to experience new things, to feel different emotions. All of it the range of human experience is the point of it all. And it's easy to forget that sometimes. So I think, yeah, just reminding myself that, healing isn't linear and it is a process.
Yeah, that's a that's a great tip. If you could leave the world with one message, and it was your last message, not just to your ex, but
Yeah.
to the entire world, what would that message be?
Be kinder to yourself.
Yeah.
And I say kind, and I don't mean nice. So I think the people often mix this up where they think being nice is being kind, but being kind is not being nice because there's many times where being kind is actually not what you want. So an example is during my healing process. Part of my healing journey was to do cold plunges because I feel like it builds a lot of, that sort of confidence and that ability to face discomfort with yourself. There were many days where I did not want to go. I'm like, it's so cold today. I feel so terrible. I really don't want to go in some cold water. But the kinder act would have been to say, you know what? I'm doing this for myself. I'm choosing this because I care about myself. Even though I don't want to do it, even though it's uncomfortable, even though I feel like I just want to stay at home and, be a potato on my couch. So the nice thing to do would be, oh, it's fine, I'll just stay home. And, that's acceptable sometimes. Sometimes maybe you need that. But sometimes being kind means giving yourself the space to face the discomfort, to open yourself up to the quote unquote hard things.
That's really, really good advice. That's a great message to share. Is that what you would say to your clients if they were just starting out working with you?
So I do actually tell all my clients that it is important when they sign up that they get into the habit of doing meditation and breathing. And as well, if they're open to it, trying out the cold plunge therapy, because for me, it was such a huge shift in my healing process that I think everybody should at least try it out.
I have heard that it shifts trauma.
Yeah. Personally, from my experience, that's what I was able to find.
Wow, that's fantastic. Well, for those that have gained value from this conversation, I hope that it has uplifted you, inspired you, or allowed you to shift in some sort of way. Perhaps you're going through a breakup, perhaps you have had heartbreak many years ago, but you still hold on to some lingering emotions or feelings. Definitely check out the book and check out the breakup journal. The breakup journal is the link will be on the website, thebreakupjournal.net, and also the book I Love This Version of Myself that you brought out, which is available as an ebook and also as a signed paperback. I'm sure it can be shipped all over the world.
Yeah, it should be international.
Jamin, it has been such a pleasure having this conversation with you. It's been raw and real, and I've really loved all the things that you've had to share, all the insights that you've had to offer. I am super grateful for your time, and I'm looking forward to seeing you achieve more in the next 5 years and hopefully having you back on the show again as well for part
Yeah,
two.
thank you so much for having me on. This was a great conversation. Actually, the time passed by so fast. I was like, oh, wow, we're already done. That was such a great conversation. Thank you so much for creating this space.
It's been such a pleasure. Thank you. So, thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you inspired to thrive.